actually, the reports of arrested scholars going on, and the reports of allegation of torture, and the reports of firing people from their walks is going on. So until now, nothing changed. Still, we don't have any kind of speaking of freedom or democracy or respected of human rights, because until now, the security forces using force against the protest, and also still the arresting people is going on, still the allegation of torture. So if we talk about emergency law will lifted in 2 days, is in Wednesday, and there are some people say that tomorrow the king has a speech about the situation. But until now, the situation is not changed. Still, everything is going on.
Okay, I'd like to elaborate on this time factor, Rodney Shakespeare. Rodney Shakespeare, a few months has gone by now. I just mentioned, and I'd like to get a reaction from you also about this UK involvement, which I broke down into those three mini segments, which involved weapons from the UK, public order training, and also the quashing of peaceful protests. At the same time, given the fact that these few months have passed, given the fact that we're getting this report, also the US, who has the Fifth Fleet there with their soldiers there standing by, not doing anything when these abuses is occurring. What does that show in terms of both the UK and the US and the way they've displayed themselves at this point with the months that have gone by?
Well, a point on the training. The training has been particularly given to the Saudi National Guard. Now, the Saudi National Guard are not the regular army, which is charged with defending Saudi Arabia. The National Guard are the forces charged purely with defending what is the most corrupt regime in the world. It is politically bankrupt, it is morally bankrupt, it prevails in a society which is culturally bankrupt. It's done nothing except invent the Saudi sword dance, in which they smirk, giggle, and show they like hacking off people's heads. But the point is, the British government does everything to support the regime. And that gives you the truth of the matter. Now, what really lies behind this, of course, is why is the British government doing this? Well, for exactly the same reason as the Americans are doing it. It is a deal between the British government and the Bahraini government and the Saudi government and the USA government. And the deal is that we, USA and UK, will support the Bahrainis and the Jordanians and the Saudis. We will support them against their own populations as long as they support Israel. And Israel is what it's behind this. Israel completely controls American foreign policy, so much so that the Prime Minister of Israel now gives the V-sign to President Obama, when he made it quite clear that it doesn't matter what President Obama says. Israel is never going to withdraw back to the 1967 lines, and there's never going to be an independent Palestinian state. That tells you what this is all about. And a part of this, of course, is the fleet is there to protect Saudi Arabia, to protect Bahrain, to protect the UAE, and to protect Jordan. So it's a corrupt group, ultimately about protecting and upholding Israel. And Israel, as we all know, is an out-of-control, paranoid attack dog, which has 200 atomic bombs or more. And when it actually shoots people, particularly if they're unarmed, it turns around and says it was the unarmed person which started it. The whole thing is now thoroughly corrupt. It is out of control. And my country and my prime minister are part of this. And we're... the hypocrisy is on an incredible scale. They're talking about democracy elsewhere. Of course, they don't mean it. They're trying to ensure that there is no true democracy in Egypt. Right. They're doing everything they can to stop the democracy in Yemen. They're half succeeding in doing it in Tunisia. There is no democracy coming from the UK. There is no democracy coming from the USA. It is only the support of a corrupt Zionist Israel and a tyrannical medieval, feudal, totalitarian Saudi Arabia and a bunch of Khalifa killers who are using dum-dum bullets, and they can't deny it.
Okay, but at what cost? Perhaps this wasn't displayed more when we talk about Saudi Arabia, Jamal Waqeem, when Barack Obama in his first major address recently in the Arab uprisings and U.S.'s foreign policy, I'm sure you followed that, did not mention Saudi Arabia, even though he touched on Bahrain, which many said sounded more like a slap on the wrist.
Well, one reason is that the record of Saudi Arabia is ideal in terms of human rights. A few days ago, they arrested a lady who dared to drive a car. So this is the level of human rights upheld in Saudi Arabia. But of course, for the United States, Saudi Arabia is the place where oil reserves are there. So they are very important for American economy. So it's no longer important the fate of millions of Saudis who are claiming their rights or who don't even dare to go on demonstrations because they will be executed right away. This had been the case ever since the establishment of this kingdom almost a century ago. So for the United States, of course, when it claims that it's the defender of human rights and democracy, it's only an ideological tool for it to use as a pretext to interfere in the affairs of other countries. But when it comes to Saudi Arabia and its intervention, for example, in Bahrain, and its responsibility for much of the crimes that are committed against the Bahraini people,
okay,
there is
let
no
let me ask you something then, Jamal Waqeem. I'm trying to understand. Does the United States want to do something in Bahrain, but Saudi Arabia tells it not to do it? Or do they both work off the same page in terms of Saudi Arabia exercising what it does and the United States says, okay, go ahead, do what you're doing?
Well, for the United States, as I said before, human rights and democracy is a mere tool used against other states. And it's a tool that is raised whenever there is a geopolitical reason for the United States or a geopolitical interest. So in Bahrain, things should be calm because they affect the security of Saudi Arabia. Because if
okay,
the revolution
I got my answer
succeeds,
on that. Since we're running short on time, Muhammad Moscati, I need to bring you in here. Again, Muhammad Moscati, in a few days' time, this martial law is going to end. What are Bahrainis going to do in terms of pursuing what they started 3 months ago? And when I ask this question, keeping in mind for the audience, the viewers, that this, what has occurred in Bahrain is the biggest revolution based on the ratio of people coming out and what they have experienced in terms of the Arab uprising.
Actually, I don't think so. It is another step because the protest in Bahrain is not stopped at all from 14th of February until now. But the difference is in 1st of June is that it must be respect the rights of gathering, especially that the emergency law will be lifted. Actually, on Facebook and Twitter, the U.S. committee calling for protest in different villages and each village have own protest way. But also, in the same time, this youth committee in the Facebook call for peaceful protest and back to the Per Randabot. Per Randabot, as you know, it's destroyed by the authorities. So it's back to the place of the Per Randabot. So all this calls calling for peaceful protest, I think it will be facing by security forces, and they will use force to stop any kind of protest will happen in different villages.
Okay, thank you very much. I think at this point, I'm going to try to squeeze in 20 seconds from Rodney Shakespeare, please. Quickly, Rodney Shakespeare, the UK and the US, how will this backfire in terms of what has occurred in Bahrain?
Bahrain is the most democratic uprising the world has ever known as a percentage of the population. The UK and the USA are being exposed as hand in glove. The USA ordered the crackdown, and they ordered it because they're at the hands of Zionism. And this is now getting out, and I prophesy that the information about the dum-dum bullets will get out as well.
Okay, thank you very much. Rodney Shakespeare, chair of the Committee Against Torture in Bahrain, with his statements from London. We appreciate that. Also, Jamal Wakim from Beirut, the Lebanese International University, and on the phone from Manama, head of the Youth Society on Human Rights, we had Mohammed Al-Maskati with his statements. Thank you for watching. Don't forget, you could always send us any questions or views or comments to newsroom@presstv.ir. From Ikaba Tahway and the entire team here in Tehran, it's goodbye.